On this episode of Real Wins, we dive into the meaning behind a go-to-market strategy, often called a GTM or a GTM marketing strategy. Later, Mike describes a few key differences between a condo sell-through go-to-market strategy and a multifamily go-to-market strategy. Without further ado, let's jump right in. All right, Mike, welcome back to another episode, Real Wins. How are things with you?
Things are great, man. Things are really good. I've got a new backdrop here today, but I'm excited to have a conversation with you here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll spare you my gory details of my last week with COVID, but I think you are dialing in from a beach somewhere in the world, and you're probably having you've got like this 80 degree and sunny sort of like look to you, and I have like I've had COVID for a week and we just had 24 inches of snow look to me. So tell me a little bit about your experience.
Yeah, for sure. You're welcome to live vicariously here for a minute. But yeah, I'm down in the Caribbean with my family, which is nice. We're in right by the Bitter End Yacht Club to give them a shout out right now in Virgin Gorda. So beautiful part of the world that we love to visit. And, New England weathers, I have to escape from. Every year, at least for a little bit, to get some sun. Otherwise, it's a long winter. Although it sounds like you guys got buried with snow, and never mind the sickness that's been ravaging your family for seems like a month now. So I feel bad to hear that. I think we were lucky to escape a lot of that and get a little beach time, get a little sun time, still do our podcasts. We can do everything from around the world these days.
That's right. I was just talking to my wife. Well, I should say my wife was telling me that we need to have a beach location every winter now moving forward to take the family.
Highly recommend it. I'm sure I can make a few recommendations for
you. Yeah, you seem like the guy who knows about the water, so I'll have to ask you about that in the future.
Well, I'm a water spirit or a sea animal spirit of some sort here. I cannot be away from the water for basically any period of time or else I go stir crazy, and that's why we love the Caribbean so much.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Today we have a couple of great topics to cover. They relate to one another, and we're going to be talking about go-to-market strategies. Number one, what does a go-to-market strategy mean, at a high level? And then number two, what is the difference between a condo sell-through and a multifamily lease-up when we're thinking about go-to-market strategies, sometimes referred to as GTMs, GTM marketing strategies and so forth. This is definitely something that we've been writing about for a while. We talk about it, if not talk around it quite a bit. But let's kick things off today and sort of pin a definition of sorts to the wall with regards to what does a go-to-market strategy mean. I know that we hear this a lot, or we get asked this a lot, and I think this will create some clarity for those that are listening and maybe those that'll work with us down the line. So can you set the stage for us, Mike, and kick us off?
I think go-to-market strategy, go-to-market plan is a term used very often in other businesses and other industries, not one that has been well used in multifamily or condo developments forever. I think we're trying to sort of beat the drum around it because, far too often we've seen just a collection of tactics, maybe, a brand that's put up with a logo, but no real thought of the actual go-to-market strategy. And go-to-market strategy, just to, I think, clarify to your point here, is basically the framework, the plan, the comprehensive plan that of the totality of building a brand, building core messaging, and building a marketing, plan and sales leasing strategy and such that you can go to market to reduce your risk, overcome the competition, and drive revenue. And most other businesses in the world, think about this, when they launch a new product or they launch a new service, they're going to be building a comprehensive go-to-market plan. And that's been lacking for far, far too long in our industry, in the real estate industry. And that's what we're trying to, you and I and others have been beating the drum for a long time saying, okay, let's think about this from a strategic standpoint in terms of how are we going to drive this $30, $50, $100, $150 million project to the market?
Yeah. And I think of it a little bit like a layer cake, because it's not one thing. It's not some other thing that are sort of thrown out there as ideas. It really is this layer cake of strategy that comes together that forms this plan. So we're talking about market or audience strategies or profiles. We're talking about that brand and naming, branding, and sort of positioning exercise. We're talking about messaging at a high level. What are the brand pillars for that position? There's obviously the marketing plan. There's very like tactical elements of that as well. And then to your point, there's a sales strategy. How do you talk about that with someone who has sort of no previous education and how to even wrap their head around that?
I think one of the ways is what we're trying to do today, for sure, is really trying to give a you know, point of view on why do this, why think about it this way, and really, though, the big thing is the way I look at it for people, for clients, you know, developers, owners, or whatever. Think about, okay, you could just, you know, pour a bunch of money into an ILS and call it a day. That's your plan to get leads. You know, that's been the traditional way to think about this. Like, how do we get leads for this project? It's not about getting leads. It's about developing this comprehensive and sort of well thought out plan that's going to not just create demand for the project, but also build a brand that's going to, you know, move people faster through the leasing cycle, depending on the type of project it is, and then drive them through and attract the right audience to get a better rent or a better higher sell-through price, and really overcome any competition that's in the market as well. So all these things are really critically important to be building into that plan so that you get better financial results and you actually turn marketing into not just a cost, but an investment.
Mm-hmm. And so if we're thinking about this, and we talked about this fairly recently, if we're talking about this idea of a full engagement versus a piecemeal sort of approach, or kind of a thing here, a thing there, what are some of the questions, or what are some of the pillars of a go-to-market strategy that you think about, that you want to sort of get answers to, that are prompts maybe that we run through with clients that come to us and say, we're not really sure, where do we start?
So I think there are three sort of main points of, right? And the first is really building a brand that matters. And the second is creating the demand engine. And the third is developing that sales or leasing process and program so that you can nurture and convert the demand into actual leases and actual sales. And so those are the three parts. And, you know, I'd love to, you know, hear from you in terms of thinking about what is it that actually makes for a good brand? How do you position a project in the market and differentiate it from the competition? Because I think that is first and foremost the starting point of branding in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with a brand, you really have to think about what is the essence of the project. What are some of the sort of background stories of the neighborhood, of the area, of the city? And you have to really sort of think about it from as unique of a perspective as possible to really get away from those like Cedar Point or Vista Views. So you can really sort of seep into the local history and the local heritage. Granted, a lot of times these are new builds, new developments, and, you know, it's not going to be an old building that has sort of this old style name to it. That's not really the point. I think the point is, how can you create a unique message and a unique position within a market that allows it to stand out from all the rest of the competition? Because at the end of the day, that's the main thing. What are your differentiators? How do you talk about that? And how do you start to define that through your name, through your brand design, and then obviously through the way that you communicate that property?
Yeah, totally. And I think one of the things that I know we've talked about this and we like to think about is, like, you know, start off by saying, like, for who is this project being built for? Like, who is your target audience? What do they enjoy? What do they like? What are they attracted to? And again, I think a lot of people fall into this, which I think is a trap of falling into like the demographics of like who the people like in terms of like age and other demographics that frankly are fair housing violations in a lot of cases. And they should be thinking about what in terms of personality or style or attraction that would be the target audience in a lot of ways. And to think about them like, hey, what other brands might appeal to them? What kind of messaging works? So starting with like, who is this project for, right? I think that's going to be a core part of it. And then like, what is it that this specific development is providing for those people? So it might be some combination of ways presenting the amenity spaces, the location, the style of units, the type of units, the finishes, the fit, all of the important aspects of that you're delivering for this core audience. And then what is it that it's, you know, what is the lifestyle that it's presenting them? And how does that differ from the competition, whether it's the location that's different or whether within the location, even it's different from the neighboring competition buildings? And so really diving into that, I think, is the key element that can help just start to think about the differentiation process and the target audience in a powerful way.
Yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, I think one of the sort of questions that we often get back explaining things like that is, well, what does that really mean? Like, how, give me a tangible example of what that means to dial in a target audience, and then sort of figure out a way to serve that audience. And I think one of the examples that I really liked recently in working with a relatively new partner of ours is that they're building a project that is really focused on sort of the outdoor adventurer. And it's really easy to say that, but what does that mean when you actually live at a property? Well, for example, they're building out a giant gear room. So in Colorado, you can go in, you can rent skis, you can rent kayaks, you can rent a bunch of different stuff that literally allows you to go outdoors and experience all the nature that's around you in a way that I'm sure 95% of the other, or, you know, groups around them or the properties around them don't have that. And right. so that's a really great example of how do you support an audience and sort of live through what your values are. I mean, it's one thing to have headlines and great supporting copy and nice photography, but if you're actually sort of pushing that into the experience of the brands, I think that goes a long way and is a huge differentiator.
Well, by the way, that's a great point too, because, you know, that's another reason to really engage early with, you know, in terms of establishing your positioning and branding in the market, because what you're actually delivering for a quote unquote product is really the underlying aspect of how you're building that brand. It's, again, it's not a logo. It's the entirety of the living experience and the communication experience that people feel. And there's a great quote, and I don't know who said it. It was a famous marketing person that said, your brand is not what you say it is. It's what they say it is. In other words, your audience. And so, and I think that is where it can be get really powerful, to think about how all these elements that are being designed into the building early in architecture or planning entitlement phases, that is, it could really help to have, you know, other folks in the real marketing and branding folks to really help bring that even more to life.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Real Wins, brought to you by Authentic, delivering premier multifamily brand experiences and smart digital marketing. Authentic's proven approach accelerates leasing velocity, boosts rental rates, and increases long-term value. You can find out more at AuthenticFF.com. And by Charles Gate, the multifamily investor's secret weapon to help underwrite, go to market, and operate projects that generate market-beating returns. With an adaptive staffing model and on-demand leasing teams, Charles Gate empowers a better resident experience at an efficient cost structure for today's owners. Visit charlesgate.com for more.
Let's talk about that demand engine phase. I think it's interesting because it really, these steps really relate to how, you know, our work at Authentic, we usually separate it out into design, build, and scale. And this is very similar. So for this sort of demand engine phase, what do you think about and what do you advise with partners that come in with questions?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is when you're getting into the tactics of it, right? Essentially, it's like what you're trying to do to generate awareness in the market and then generate demand, which means, you know, back to the kind of getting traffic in the door coming for appointments. And so there's, you know, 101 probably and more tactics you could start to build. But generally speaking, you know, what you're trying to do is create this level of awareness in the market, especially for a new project coming online, to sort of just make people aware. And that could be any number of things, including on-site activation, including ads online, whether it's, you know, pay-per-click style Google AdWords or social media ads and things that just really can start to build like, oh, there's a new project coming, or there's, you know, that with great creative and great messaging that attracts your core audience. And that's the real trick right now, because I think the creative is a real differentiating a difference maker in terms of how you're advertising these days. But that's really the key part, to start to sort of build people, add them to your marketing list, and nurture them over time. And what we're doing to start to build the traffic on site for appointments when the time comes.
Yeah. I think the creative is a huge differentiator these days. I think starting early is another huge differentiator these days. Not to beat a dead horse there. We talked about that, I think, a lot. But being able to start your sort of marketing engine as early as possible, you know, shovels are hitting the ground. Brand is being developed, messaging is going up at the property, people are being nurtured from day one as much as possible, and I think that makes a huge difference. Let's talk about sales and leasing to bring this one home. But how do you? It's one thing to talk about marketing and demand engines, but I think sales and leasing sort of get thrown into this bucket of, sometimes I feel like it's a little bit of an afterthought. But what's your
it can be, and again, I think this is this legacy mindset where, you know, there's a couple of things: if you build it, they will come mindset, or you know, where all you need to do is have people show up. And now, because there's such this trend of like things like, you know, automated leasing or people just showing up into self-guided tours, things like that, which I think is self-defeating in a lot of ways. But we can talk about that in another episode. But I think it's critical because you're enabling, what you're doing is basically having someone, a good professional salesperson on it that's helping nurture the people who are interested and help them make the decision that's best for them. And often cases, if you're doing marketing right, you're attracting the right audience, all the salespeople need to do through good processes, help them make a decision. And people really like when people help them make a decision, we've found. And so by building a great process in where you're being helpful, not pushy or salesman-y or whatever, but really, we're really having a helpful process, you're able to convert a far higher percentage of tours and visits into leases or sales in the case of this condo project. And so, but the critical thing is that there's a tight tie-in between marketing and both brand and demand and the salespeople on site, such that they're conveying the same messaging and continue to resonate that, you know, powerful brand message that you've created, and can lean on the ads and the copy that's been already delivered to these people. That's going to help close the gap and help them make a decision sooner and faster.
Yeah, I had a really good conversation today with a marketing director at an owner operator that I think they are about 40 properties deep. And I asked her some of these similar questions. And I specifically was asking about the leasing team as salespeople versus just, you know, nice, outgoing, positive human beings, which we all love. And she sort of hammered home for me that it doesn't really matter what their, you know, characteristics are, or if they're super outgoing or maybe a little bit more reserved. But the bottom line for her was that they need to be able to sell and close a deal. And that has to be the bottom line for them and their leasing team, because it's not just as simple as putting a pretty face out there, relying on some marketing language and hoping that leases get signed, which I thought was more and more. I think the more we have those conversations, the clearer it is that you need to have a really strong process in place that then has a handoff to a leasing team that is not only enabled but has that sales experience too.
Yeah, and look, sales is a process. It's a trainable, it's a learnable process, and if you build a playbook around it and how to approach it for each individual project, and what these, you know, what the tour process looks like, what the application process looks like, and the right types of questions to help people make the right decision for them, you can really, really accelerate the tour to lease conversion and have happier, better resident experience for happier residents long term as well.
Let's pivot into the second question to kind of round this conversation out. So when we're thinking about go-to-market strategies, there is some difference between condo sell-throughs and multifamily lease-up projects. I became more familiar with condo sell-throughs working with you and your team at Charles Gate. So this was sort of new to me. I know that you've been doing that for many years. How do you kind of go about the GTMs of condos versus multifamily?
Yeah. So, I mean, on the face of it, from a big picture, it's essentially the same thing, all right? The same style, the same process. There's some technical differences with, like, you, when you're integrating with property management software, you might have more real-time availability on a property management website versus a condo sellout website. There's also, generally speaking, a longer sales cycle for people who are making, say, $1 million condo purchase decision versus a $3,000 annual rent decision. So there's definitely differences in the way you approach the sales process, but from a marketing strategy standpoint and a go-to-market strategy standpoint, it's essentially the same thing. You're just creating differentiators and positioning based on where something stands in the for sale market versus the for rent market. And, you know, you might be targeting a different audience and different things, but it's essentially the same process. There might be some different collateral needs and different expectations for collateral or even visualizations, because oftentimes the other main difference is you're typically starting selling the condo projects earlier, well into the pre-construction phase, versus with lease ups, you're starting closer to certificate of occupancy. But that's another sort of timing difference. And so it's more important to lean on very good visualizations and renderings and things like that on the condo side. Not that it's not important on the lease up side if you're starting early, like we recommend. But on the condo side, it's even that much more important. And also sort of depending on the type of project that you're selling to, you know, there might be even more needs for different sort of pre-sales requirements based on some lending guidelines and things like that. So, you know, there might need a commitment to get, you know, 20 or 30% pre-sold before they can even start construction in some cases on condo projects, things like that, might come up from time to time. So generally speaking, starting earlier, but it's essentially the same types of strategies you're developing for either case.
I'm really curious because, you know, with multifamily over the last many months, you know, we've seen this issue of increased absorption challenges. We've seen issues with slow starts for new projects. Oh. I think we're kind of entering, or maybe we're already in this era of a big difference as compared to, say, 2 years ago in multifamily. Are you seeing similar trends on the condo sell-through side, or do you see different sort of ingredients, so to speak, getting mixed into this big pot?
There's some similarities, but also some differences. And I think one of the primary differences, like the for sale market is a lot more interest rate sensitive in terms of the end buyers. And so as we saw the spike in mortgage loan rates in the past 18 months, that dramatically slowed or reduced the amount of demand in the market on that side of things. So that's one, I would say, difference in terms of how it demand, one of the demand drivers in the market. That said, ultimately, it is all about kind of the supply and competition in a given market and in a location at any given time. And you're still sort of competing against that other supply of new inventory, new or existing inventory, depending on the circumstances of the project. But there are a number of drivers, but I think the interest rate and the home loan interest rate factors a lot bigger into a home sale decision, home purchase decision than certainly obviously in the rental side.
Anything else come to mind before we wrap up in terms of differences between condo sell-throughs, multifamily lease-up projects? I feel like we spend a lot of time talking about multifamily, of course. So I think I'm naturally curious about condos, but anything else come to mind?
No, I wouldn't say there's any big differentiators. I mean, typically you're seeing larger budgets on the condo side because you're actually trying to move, you know, 50, 100, 200 million in sales or, you know, or more in sales product at a given time versus an annualized rental. That said, I think so. Frankly, a lot of the learnings we've had come from the condo side because we've had the opportunity to really put our sort of money where our mouth is in a lot of cases in terms of driving and creating these marketing plans and programs. And we've done it, you know, in a dramatically more efficient way than I think a lot have. And we've brought those learnings to the multifamily side as well, where I think traditionally has been a dramatic underinvestment in marketing to drive through things, so much faster absorption, you know, better rents, higher NOI. You know, you're adding a lot of that value to the bottom line capitalized price of the property. So those are a lot of the learnings that we've taken from the condo market, though, and translate them directly to the multifamily market. I think, frankly, maybe that's in a way that a lot of folks haven't, because they just approach it in the standard traditional multifamily way for so long, which is, for lack of a better way to put it, ILS and prey. And so we're trying to take that to a deeper level and really drive and say, okay, you can actually save a lot of money, be way more efficient in your actual spend, then invest a little bit more, but just be way more efficient with it and have far, far better results. And so that marketing is the investment in revenue that it is for every other business in America.
So in summation, if you want to mitigate risk, overcome competition, and drive revenue faster, think about a go-to-market strategy. Otherwise, ILS and pray. Is that right?
Otherwise... Good luck to you. ILS and pray. Spend all your money on the ILSs, and hopefully someone walks in the door and 18 months later, you might be barely stabilized.
Yes. And that can cost a lot of money, by the way. That's usually a good 50% of the overall budget as it is. And that's saying something. So, Mike, thank you for your insights on these topics, especially on the condo sell-through side. Super interesting stuff. Always a good time connecting, and enjoy the rest of your time at the beach before you get back to sunny Boston.
Hopefully sunny, actually. Yeah, because it's going to snow when we get back, maybe. So we'll see. But
okay.
I have only a few days left. But Chris, awesome catching up. Awesome talking to you. Hopefully you get fully over the COVID and all the other unfortunate sicknesses you've had to deal with over there. But I'm sure you'll bounce back soon.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.